interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And I can promise you the classiest edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports in 4.5 years is kicking off live from the wine cellar at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, for the next 2.5 hours, I'll be joined by the guy to my left, as long as he's not greeting everybody here, Ruff and Roderick. Ruff, this is something, man.
Oh, man, we got the wine cellar. I tell you, it's nice and cool in here. I think it's a good 58 degrees.
We're the only people in Lafayette right now that are complaining about how damn cold it is.
This is a popular place on weekdays and weeknights. A lot of wine flowing out of here at Rufino's, and tonight's a really special night. About to pack the bar with not only a special night, but a special charity that we're going to really help out tonight, along with a bunch of other restaurants in Lafayette.
We got a lot of great guests that are going to join us today. I haven't shared this with you yet, so I'll do that right now. In our very next segment, about 10 minutes in this moment, Ricky Blanton, a former LSU basketball player and a guy that watched Chris Jackson come on campus. Now we know that Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf is going to have his jersey hanging in the rafters. Pretty big stuff.
Yeah, a long time coming. Good thing Ricky and I were really close at LSU and afterwards. And don't ask him to tell any stories about me. He and Dan Marley, the famous Phoenix Sun,
Thunder Dan,
used to come in town because Ricky and he were pretty close. And Ricky's got a couple of stories. I got a couple of scars from those two guys, to be honest with you. But Ricky is probably one of the brightest basketball minds I've ever met. Should be coaching, but he wanted to be a dad.
You know what you always say about Nick Saban and that mentality would translate into Fortune 500 in business? I'm watching Ricky do some of that. So that sharp mentality for basketball, he's doing it right now in the private sector.
Yeah, Ricky could have been a great coach, but, man, he literally is the best dad I know. I mean, the coaching of his kids and the attention he puts to their progress and growth, and his wife and the whole deal is really, really remarkable and admirable. And one of the greatest guys to ever play in Louisiana, as far as an ambassador for Louisiana. Being from Miami to come here and do what he's done for the state has been remarkable. So,
Ben Love, Ruff and Roderick hanging out, and momentarily we'll tell you why we're at Rufino's on the River on this beautiful Tuesday. Got to introduce the famous Clint D. Back inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Got two other guests that are coming aboard. I know you'll enjoy both of them. I don't know if you're ready to do any kind of deadlifts or anything, but Tommy Moffitt at straight at 5 o'clock.
He's
get your hamstrings ready.
Tommy is a you have strength coaches all over the country. You have the celebrity at Alabama, what he does, and they put him on the big screen and this and that. Tommy's one of those guys. You know, when we do the former player walk down the hill at LSU games, and Tommy wasn't my strength coach. Milton Williams was, but afterwards when he came to see his players and the way they react to him when he's walking through and jumping all over him, and it's just, he is a he is by far a player favorite, and he's got great stories.
You can put in all the resources LSU just did, but they don't come back and hug the pod.
Yeah,
they come back and hug Tommy Moffitt.
Exactly.
At 5:30, Steve Robertson coming aboard, covers Mississippi State Athletics for 24/7 Sports. We just had media day.
Can't wait to hear that.
I'm excited, too. And look, I know you and I are kind of on the same wavelength here. Yesterday I was at Sunbelt Media Day. We know the Cajuns open up in New Orleans against Mississippi State. You and I were thinking maybe 16, 17 points that line may be in favor of Mississippi State.
Yeah.
We'll find out just how good they're going to be.
Yeah. I
And we both like the Cajuns.
I could find out. I could find it out really, really well. Really, our cohort in Baton Rouge, Jimmy Ott, can give us a line probably in about 2 seconds. So I can get that off the air. But
from your lips to Bruce Marshall's
exactly
ears, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bruce sets the lines.
That's right.
You know, he's the head of the board in Vegas. So, and Jimmy's got a straight line to him. And you know, the thing is I'm really excited about, you know, what Billy did last year with not his talent and to go to a bowl game and the whole deal. Obviously, you know, losing the bowl game and all that. But defensively, he knew he would be struggling.
Yeah.
You know, but he put points on the board. He got a relationship with his quarterback, and look what happened. And now he's got a couple of quarterbacks, and he's, you know.
Improved defense.
Yeah, it's improved defense, and it's just, you know, but the thing is, Ben, it's an energy for the Cajuns right now. It's this newfound energy that we haven't seen in a few years. And
I felt it in New Orleans, by the way. Not
yeah.
just with the people they brought yesterday. I spent the weekend on the West Bank with my wife and her parents. Look, they're advertising, and the Acadian Advocate over there, they want just the casual fans in New Orleans to come out and watch them. So mm-hmm. they're doing their best to convert people to the Vermilion and White. Billy's got a lot of support.
Yeah, and the big thing with Billy, Rob Sale, and Jabbar, and all the great coaches is it's a unified staff. And the one thing, the killer in college football is a divided staff. And you saw a little bit of that here and there with some past coaches here, and you know this guy did. You know, it's hard to, but man, Billy was he's his tenure with Coach Saban, he and Rob. Was, I think, 5 years, whatever it was. I mean, nobody stays that long with Nick Saban. That tells you a lot right there.
Yeah.
And Nick's a huge fan of Billy's because he knows Billy is a future of
well, there's no doubt that Nick picking up a phone call is part of the reason that this ball got rolling.
Exactly.
Don't get me wrong. Once it did, I mean, Billy knocked the door down.
Yeah, and now Billy has befriended Coach Ogeron at LSU. He's befriended Coach Shuffle at Southeastern. I mean, they're all – look, Louisiana gets the world, and when you against each other, somebody's going to lose. But if you stick with them and you team up and you befriend all the high school coaches, and the high school coaches see the camaraderie between the universities, it's a whole nother ball game, man.
Yeah.
You know,
nobody's worried about satellite
camps anymore. To take this long to get there like that is just, you know. And you know, Coach Hudd, when he came in, I'll be frank with you, we had a lot of good talks about that, and. He wanted to, but he got a lot of pressure from outside sources not to. But the good thing about Billy is, I don't know anybody that doesn't like Billy Napier. I mean, he's just one of those guys when you meet, he's just, like Rob said, all of them, they're just, that's why they recruit so well. He's just likable, like Coach Ogeron, they're just likable.
And
how can
you
not like
Coach
Ogeron?
I know the administration here trusts his vision. And
yes.
That sounds like it's backwards, that he would have to trust theirs. But they trust the fact that he's involved with people on the other side of the basin. They're involved with him, and that's a mutually beneficial relationship.
And the common denominator is the new athletic director. And we had him Maggard was here, I think, for about a month ago.
That's right.
And that's the energy.
Yeah.
You know, I was a good friend, big fan of Eddie Nunez, but the more I got to be around Maggard, I'm like, man, what a great decision! This guy is awesome. I mean, he's gonna bring promise to the whole athletic program.
I'm with you. So here's our drill and our game plan: Ricky Blanton, Tommy Moffitt, Steve Robertson, all coming by. I've already gotten a text since I told our listening populace we're coming here earlier today. Our morning show hosts told the world, and then I got a text that said, "Please let Ruffin talk about Eric Reed." I said, "We will." So at 4:30, set your little reminder in your iPhone or your Android. We will do that, but we do need to get out so we can get to Ricky Blanton. Tell the folks quickly why we're here tonight. It's Teeny Tuesday, but it's for a great cause.
Yeah, Healing House, battered women. You know, the whole. It's a great organization in Lafayette. They've always we've done this since we've been here. We've done the. Teeny Tuesday when we were first, and then we've done it every year. We've had a new one every year. We've always raised a ton of money for them. Every Tuesday they go to a different restaurant. Tonight is Ruffino's on the River night, and if you don't have a seat or but come to the bar, we got the patio. We have you know, it's going to be, I don't know if it's a cold front or whatever, but it's like 80 degrees outside.
We'll make room and in the wine cellar, whatever we got to do.
We have, and we have the patio, the temperature's down to about 72, you know, so the air conditioner's kicking out. Maybe a little too cold, you know, in the middle of July. And
so come enjoy spring.
A lot of fun.
In the summer.
And a DJ.
And a DJ. And then us. We got the official banner outside. You let them know our station. We're in here with as much wine as we'll need in a lifetime.
Yeah, a lot of wine, man. This is some good stuff. This is the good stuff, as they say.
The private stock.
And so it's giving some good music. We're going to have just a lot of fun, excitement. And like you already see people at the bar coming in early to dine. And again, you know, I'm blown away by the staff here, Ben. You know, Open Table, which is the world's largest reservation system. You know, and right now they have a 4.6 or 4.7 rating and climbing. And it's amazing, you know, in a very critical area with people with sensitive palates of Lafayette, of just no food and understand it, to grow it the way that Chris Muffoletto and the rest of the staff here has is been nothing short but of amazing, which is, I think, is the highest score in Lafayette right now. So, and these are diners that actually dine here and rate. So it's out of 5 stars.
Wow.
So they're climbing it up to where they can get closer to 5 stars, which is, we've never seen anything of the likes of it in this city. So it's been great.
Quick break. We'll be right back in. Ricky Blanton on the other side. Come on, join us if you get a chance. Ben Love alongside Ruff and Rodri at Ruffino's on the River. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football. On 103.7 The Game.
We might have written the football rules right now. Time to talk some basketball. Back in, and I'm not joking, we are live inside the wine cellar at Ruffino's on the River, getting ready for a big charity event tonight. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, former LSU Tiger great on the hardwood, also did a tremendous job for just about a decade as a color analyst for the LSU Sports Radio Network, Ricky Blanton. Ricky, how are you?
Great, Ben. A little chilly over there?
Can you believe? Well, maybe you can. You know Ruffin. Can you believe he's got me in the wine cellar right now?
Somehow I can believe it.
I believe that you can. He's gonna join us right now. So we've got Ricky on the line, Ruffin sitting shotgun. And let's talk about Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and his jersey finally. I think deservedly Ricky is going to hang from the rafters of the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. Take us back to the first time that you came into consciousness of this young man coming up in Mississippi and then the magical time he shared alongside you in Baton Rouge.
You know, and look, I can tell you, take those 2 years and you bottle those 2 years up, what he did in LSU basketball uniform. Obviously, in 30 years, it hasn't been repeated. So I can tell you, I knew from day one he was a special player when we played pickup back in the dungeon right away. Right in the first pickup game. I don't think any of us thought it would be this special. You know, look, he's 5'10", 5'11", 160 pounds, came on his recruiting trip, got to meet him. I was a junior, then comes back unofficial, you know, the whole routine, how it goes. But I can tell you from day one of pick, and remember, this class was storied. You had him, Vernell Singleton, Stanley Roberts, Harold Boudreaux, Maurice Williamson. These five guys were a top tier class. Unfortunately, fortunately, Chris and Vernell were the only two to play in this class. But look, you knew right away the way Chris can shoot it, the way he could get off the floor. He was quick as a cat. You don't forget guys like him when you play pickup. And the first pickup game, from then on, he was a special player.
Ricky, hey buddy, this is Ruffin.
Hey bud,
how you doing, my man?
Great.
Good. Great. Yeah, Ricky's one of my dearest friends. I tell you, outside of Chris, Ricky, I mean, Ricky may be the most popular player in LSU history, if you ask fans, because of what he did for the community and everything. And, Chris, I never asked you this, as close as we are. I remember being down in the below the PMAC, where y'all practiced. We used to do karate classes. And I can remember Chris being there. He was always there by himself, just shooting.
Right.
And one day, one day I decided to take him on. And Tommy Hodson, who was a great basketball player in high school, said, "Ruffin, you're going to break your ankles. He's that quick." I went, whatever. And I literally almost broke my ankles. You know, I didn't see him. He was so fast. And he laughed with me. And but I remember him after, because I was joking with him so much and ragging him. Ricky, he did a like a backward slam dunk that could have been in the NBA dunk contest, but you never really saw him do that much of it. But he was that athletic.
He was, and look, too. You know, a lot of listeners may have forgotten he was in the slam dunk contest one year when he was in the NBA. And you know, I think about this, and Ben, you're in the business, right? Think about 30 years ago. This guy's leading the country in scoring. He scores 50 points on three different occasions in a season. Just think about with the coverage and social media and how things are instant right now. Imagine how Chris Jackson, now Mahmoud Abdul-Rahim, think about how he would have captured the college audience. This was 30 years ago, not to mention he's battling Tourette's syndrome, right? I mean, Tourette's, nobody talked about it 30 years ago. Now we're open about these conditions, right? People talk about anxiety and depression. It was taboo to talk about something other than just your game. I mean, I look at how some of these guys are being covered and what happens to these players. Chris Jackson at 5'10", 160 pounds, you talk about popularity. This guy would have taken college basketball by storm, because when you're dropping 50 a game and you're making 8 or 9 threes a game, you know, look, that record still hasn't been broken. There's no freshman has averaged 30.2 points a game for a season. Kevin Durant came close. Michael Beasley at Kansas State came close. But none of them have duplicated what Chris did. And it was, look, man, it was super special. And, you know, Ruffin can tell you, back then we lived in the dorm. We ate in the dorm. And, you know, you walked on campus. If you didn't know who Chris Jackson was, you'd be like, oh, there's a 5'10" guy walking around. But we all knew, because we were around and lived in the same building, this guy, I mean, he was a special player at LSU.
Ricky Blanton, our guest on 103.7 The Game. Ricky, I don't particularly want to get into why it took so long for this to happen, but I do want to ask you this. It doesn't seem to me a coincidence that Scott Woodward is hired as the AD, and within 3 months this goes down. I'm not off base there, am I?
I don't know. That's a good question, right? I will tell you this from being involved in some capacity. This has been in the works for a while, right? And you know, and Ruffin, and we all know, sometimes things are slow moving when you're at a public university or state university. That's just the nature of it. But the reality is, I don't think anyone, even whatever happened after the fact, all of us that knew Mahmoud as Chris Jackson, we were in that element as Chris Jackson. We were there with Chris Jackson. The excitement that he brought to the PMAC, the excitement he brought to LSU basketball, it's just off the charts. I mean, people, and look, I was a part of it from start to finish. His locker was next to mine. He lives across the hall from me. We were there. What he did and the energy he put into LSU basketball, because look, we all know, right? LSU's a football school, baseball school, and basketball found its way. He was the talk, man. I mean, this guy was electric. And when you look back at some of those between-the-leg crossovers, those pull-ups on a dime, and, you know, somebody asked me, why didn't they just double-team him? Why didn't they just not let him get 30 points? My answer was, he did so much in transition. He was so fast with the ball. You just couldn't double-team him up and down the court. So it was really hard to do it. It wasn't that easy. But that's how special this guy was. And, you know, I think people forget, too, because of everything that happened after LSU, he played 9 years in the NBA. I mean, he was no slouch. 2 years in a row, or 2 years of his NBA career, he led the NBA in free throw percentage in the 90s. So, look, it's great. And I think it'll bring, when people like these younger generation that seen him play, when they start watching YouTube and highlights, you'll be like, really? I mean, people who have never seen him play will enjoy watching some of those highlights.
Yeah, the Michael Jordan Bulls against the Denver Nuggets playoff game.
That's right.
And I think they scored in the 40s or 50s. Both of them. It was a back and forth. It was amazing to watch. But I can tell you, I used to call him the Bridge, between Chris Jackson and Shaq. You know, Ricky was but hey, look, there was a scrawny kid from Miami in 1986 that took out two of the best centers in the NCAA, in Ricky Blanton. So, you know, if it was up to me and I was Scott Woodward, I'd have a Ricky Blanton jersey up in that bad boy.
I appreciate that. Well, Ben, let me tell you another Chris Jackson. So I've been very, to Ruffin's point, I've been very fortunate, right? I've been on the floor with Chris, and we've all been around great players. And I was on the floor. Chris and I played the entire season together. And what they do to the game and how they change the nature of the game in any sport, football, basketball, baseball, you know, I was on the floor with Chris, and it was just, he makes it look so easy. It's just what they do. The game comes so easy and how they dominate. I was there. I was lucky enough to be on the floor with Michael, and Michael was the – not Chris. Chris was not Michael Jordan, but what Chris did that year to dominate a game on a regular basis scoring 30 points, I saw that. I was lucky enough to see the same thing at the NBA level, albeit a half a year with Michael, but practice every day. And when you're around somebody truly special as a player in any sport, that's amazing. That's a lasting impression. And I got to tell you – I watch a lot of college basketball. I just haven't seen a guy at 5'10 do what Chris Jackson did in an LSU uniform. And I don't think I keep repeating myself, but we can't look past that because it hasn't been done in 30 years.
Ricky, we got to hit a break. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back here momentarily inside the wine cellar at Ruffino's on the River. You're listening to Bumper Sports. Ruffin and I will react to that. We'll talk a little Eric Reed as well on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, I guess I'll put down the Merlot as Ruffin and I right back into the wine cellar at Ruffino's on the River. I guess we'll do more of the radio thing. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you on 103.7 The Game. I'm having a blast.
Oh, this is such great woodworking in here. We got lucky and found a great one on Lafayette, and it's beautiful with the temperature controlled, 58 degrees, which is the perfect temperature to drink red wine. And there's some pretty beautiful bottles, big, great prices. You know, I love it. I love it here. And it's going to be a big night with the Healing House and the charity and the martini night.
Teeny Tuesday.
Yeah, you order, I think, your first martini. It's on the house. And it's a, you know, it's a great martini. It's called the Geisha. So I think some Asian ingredients. And I thought they'd have the bartenders dressed up, the little Geisha girls from Japan, but... You know, I don't know. I guess they didn't. And
at least they're not wearing houndstooth. Could be worse.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic martini. And they're the first one it's on the house, and then it goes. But that money we donate to the Healing House. So it's a pretty big event. It'd be about 400 people.
I do know this. 400 people there. Yeah, your manager, Chris Muffaletta, told me as I walked in, I believe a minimum of 200 tables already secured for reservations.
Yeah.
But you can always come and join us at the bar. We've already got a nice crowd here just after 4:30. The show will be live until 6:30. I know the party's going to go on well after that.
Yeah, it's an all-night deal. It's such a great, like I said, charity. Healing House in Lafayette, been around a while, and that's what we're all about, is giving back. You know, I love it. That's what we do, and we enjoy it, and the patrons enjoy it, and it's just a great event.
So let me put down a couple of land lines and land markers here, if you will, and then we'll get back to our conversation we both have been waiting to have. We just had Ricky Blanton of LSU basketball talking Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, formerly Chris Jackson. He'll have his jersey hanging from the Raptors in the PMAC. We've got Tommy Moffitt coming aboard at straight up 5 o'clock, talking LSU football, and you just got a shout-out on Facebook. I let everybody know we were coming, and immediately, Robin Fambro with The Advocate says, tell Ruffin I said hello. I covered him in high school,
Yes,
I'm old.
Robin was the best, is the best.
That's right.
I was at Thibodaux High School, and she covered every event, and she was awesome. I mean, back then I can remember being in high school going, man, this is like having the New York Times kind of press, you know. And
she still makes kids feel that way.
Yeah, well, she's passionate. Look, when you have a journalist that's honest and passionate about high school, as Robin is, she wouldn't trade that for anything. And high school coaches adore her. High school players adore her. You know, she's a landmark, marquee type of journalist in the history of Louisiana for high school. And you know, she's won awards, but you know, she's gonna reap all the benefits just because people love her so much. And she was so good to me.
Yeah.
And Eric Andelsek and Thibodeau, Tommy Hotson, Jamie Lawson, all the great players from Lafourche Parish at that time. You know, Jimmy Goodrum, she was awesome. She made us feel safe.
An LHSAA Hall of Famer, I would imagine, the Louisiana Hall of Natchez will come calling sooner than later as well. Typically at this time of the show, we do a sink or swim question of the day. I want to push that back a little bit because there's a topic I think a lot of people would like to hear you wax on. LSU beefs up everything inside of its student athletic center for the football team, the football ops building, nutrition center. And I'm surprised by the amount of pushback to that, but maybe most so by what Eric Reed had to say. And I'll preface this by saying, a little bit like Robin Fambro, I got to cover Eric. The whole time he was coming through Dutchtown, I was at Tiger Rag Magazine, then Scout.com. It was literally my job for a while to kind of rate him as a prospect, cover him, figure out where he's going to go to college. Then I covered him as a beat writer when I was at LSU.
He's a great kid.
He's incredibly bright. He's gotten certainly rolled into a lot of political and social activism. Mm-hmm. I think we all understand that with Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers. But when he goes on the offensive saying that this is not the way for LSU to go, what happened to the kids that need scholarships and tuition? What's your reaction to everything that played out?
Sometimes you got to look at where they're getting, you know, who was with him at the time. Was it an influence? Because everything I heard about Colin Kaepernick, it was his fiance or girlfriend that was the majority of the influence. He didn't even know what anything was about. That's what I got out of some people that were really close to the situation, and he just got kind of into the whole spiral of it, and he couldn't get out.
And once you do it, you can't halfway do it, maybe.
And she was an activist and the whole deal. Eric was just doing what he thought was right, and it, you know, came to bite him, and now he's back. Look, Eric Reed is a good kid, comes from a great family. His dad's awesome. I mean, his little brother is an incredible player.
That's right.
You know, we do this whole Twitter thing and Facebook thing. That's why I don't really post as much as I should and used to, is because sometimes I'm just scared of, you know, because I'm the kind of guy who just throws whatever is on my mind out there. And sometimes I'm like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't post anything. Because, look, my wife will post me stuff sometimes, and I'm like, and we're getting a fight on text. And I'm like, can you call me? Because this text thing is out of context, and it just doesn't, you don't know how, if I'm smiling or not. I know you get emojis, which I think save a little bit of it. But most of the time, you know, It's misread.
Isn't it amazing how real life fights start by social media?
Unbelievable.
You and another person that if you just got in a room right now, maybe not like the one me and you are in. This is pretty intimate here and cold. But if you got in a regular room with somebody, you hash it out.
Yes.
On social media, time to go to blows.
Time to go to blows because you can almost hide, and you know it's easy to just to type and hey look, you don't know if someone under the influence or whatever. A couple of beers here and you get a little bravery. The thing is, with Eric, first what he said was not that bad. He was like, "Hey, I'm so proud of the guys. They earned every, you know." But it's not just them. It's me. It's him. It's Tyrann Mathieu. It's Patrick Peterson. It's George Bevan. It's Mike Anderson. All the great players from LSU, or even if any school, if it's you. Louisiana with the Cajuns, it's you know, when they build things, hey, players give back. This is all private money. And Eric Reed really didn't upset me as much as the professor at LSU.
Robert Mann.
And I didn't really get him because it's totally private dollars, the whole deal. And I'm like, I mean, what, you can't, for you to come out like that, LSU, the football off, we bail out the university every year. You know, the money we raise and the whole deal, and I think Matt Moscona tweeted him back, and the guy was very defensive and all that.
I saw that.
Yeah, and Matt was spot on what he said. It's private dollars. Look, Clemson just $80 million. Clemson just redid theirs. Ole Miss is doing theirs right now. Mississippi State, Alabama just redid. They didn't get any pushback.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I think is maybe the timing of it. LSU picked a time that they wanted as many people to see it as possible, which is right now, the slowest time of year is only baseball going on. So their audience was huge. And I think that's why you got some of the pushback. But I saw a lot more pro than I saw.
No question.
Saw negative.
Let me take you back.
Negative is always polarized.
Very vocal minority, whether it's on social media or in real life. You're right about that. And we got time. We could take a phone call or two. Our next scheduled guest, Tommy Moffitt, in 20 minutes. Hit us up between now and then, 706-0111. Everything yesterday reminded me of just about Thanksgiving of 2015, when everyone in the free world thought that Les Miles was being fired. I still have a video on my phone that I took standing 10 feet from the man after they beat Texas A&M and Tiger Stadium. He, his wife, and his kids are saying goodbye to the fans. He's being serenaded. Then we go into the press conference, and business as usual. And everyone's like, what's going on? Here's why I bring that up. I vividly remember conversation that came out, and it was F. King Alexander, and the whole rhetoric was, how can it look good for this state when we're going to buy this man out for whatever it was, $10 million, when we can't do this, that, and the other? Don't ever confuse private and public dollars. Yeah. And I said that from the rooftop of my show back then. I said, don't insult the people of Louisiana with that.
And they did.
And then sure enough, Bobby Jindal comes in, and that's absolutely why the kibosh got put on that thing.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it was. And I was there for it. And I was as upset as anybody. Even Les was a friend of mine, but it was time.
Yeah.
And you saw the next year with the performance in Green Bay, and you saw the performance against Auburn, and it was over.
It's like not putting Old Yeller out of his misery.
The beautiful thing is we got Ed Ogeron out of it. Because you would have got another coach.
That's a good point.
And I could promise you, he wouldn't have been as good as Ed Ogeron, what he's doing right now. Ed Ogeron is the next Dabo Swinney, what he's doing right now.
Coming from the interim to where he is, it's a good point. Let's take a call. Getting out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, welcome on. You're talking to Ben and Ruffin. I hear you want to talk a little Chris Jackson.
Yes. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing great.
Good. Chris Jackson is the best basketball player I ever saw in person. I'm a little too young for Pistol Pete. I did see him in the pros, but I don't remember his college days that well. But Chris Jackson was by far the best player I've ever seen, and they're comparing him to Steph Curry, and I don't think Steph Curry can step in Chris Jackson's shoes.
Hey, T, I'm going to give you a reason why I think you're barking up the right tree, but thank you for the dial, my friend.
You got it. Love your show, man.
Appreciate you, T. Ruffin, let's chew this up a little bit, then we'll head into a
don't
break.
Don't tell my son that. He's the biggest Steph Curry fan in the world.
Well, but here's the thing.
your son,
exactly, was not alive to watch Chris Jackson. Mm-hmm. The defensive rules are so different now. It's hands off quite literally. And yeah. So if you're Steph Curry, and let's take nothing away from a two-time NBA MVP, but if Chris Jackson could have gone around as literally unchecked and unhand-checked, it would have been holy hell. And that's what we always talk about with Michael versus Kobe, Michael even versus LeBron. Defense was so much more physical. They beat the hell out of you, but also they could hand-check you. If Chris Jackson had 2 feet of clearance.
Oh, man. Well, and look, Steph Curry has 4 inches on Chris.
Good point.
And when I remember, because Chris and I he's 1 year younger, and I remember when he came to LSU and we became pretty good friends in the dining room and all that in Broussard Hall, and it was very quiet. But man, he worked so hard. We'd see him down in that gym. He was always working hard in the weight room. And the thing with Chris, to the caller's point, is Chris, I don't know of a guy who could shoot the way Chris did, but also could handle and dribble the basketball. A true point guard was Chris Jackson. And how many point guards do you know that can shoot lights out the way Chris did? That was his specialty. That's why he was drafted so high. That's why the Denver Nuggets chose him and all that, because he can, off the dribble, like Ricky said, the way he did the crossover, there was not a person on the planet that could defend it. And he was only 5'10", 5'11". And when he would come off the dribble and break, like I said, he was breaking ankles all over the place. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, ask Mark Frioli over at Fred's Bar how many points did Chris Jackson score? Well, we would do Mark would do specials on the. So if he scored over 30, it was dollar drinks. If he scored over 40, it was 25-cent drinks, something like that.
Cat lost money.
Yeah, he did, but he got it packed because people would go after the game, and it was just crazy. It was crazy. It was just. But every bar got into it, and they did Chris Jackson specials. How many points would he score? And that's how
that's awesome, man.
They would price the drinks, and you know, it was good because it was a spring, and I wasn't in practice, so I enjoyed the basketball game and the cocktails afterwards. So, but he was, look, let me tell you something. Nobody can do what he can do off the dribble. He was that special.
T, that's a great call. We're gonna hit our final break of the hour. Let me set the stage for when we return. I'll get our sink or swim question out of the way. I'll let you mull it. There's a USA Today columnist, Nate Davis. He said today that the Saints will not win the NFC South, nor will they make it to the NFC title game. I'll let you react to that. How far do you think Who Dat Nation goes? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're getting ready for Teeny Tuesday. This place is starting to pack. Come and join us at Ruffino's on the River, and on your way, keep listening to 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough. Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to get you by.
Just the anthem that our host today prefers. He stepped out momentarily. That leaves me, you, and the famous Clint D. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back out to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. I'll give you a postscript to this Eric Reed story for now, and then we'll start taking your phone calls on the Saints. 706-0111. If you line them up, a USA Today columnist says that Sean Payton's guys don't win the NFC South. They don't even make it to the NFC title game. I'll let you weigh in. All right, Ruffin, I know you got to shake some hands and kiss babies, but as we come in, I was just about to read them. Tyrann Mathieu's response to Eric Reed, which he issued about 4 hours ago on Twitter. I endowed a scholarship fund as well, he reminded Reed. I've done more in communities than most athletes. I don't do this for the camera. This is who I am. I don't need the attention. Most things I do, it comes out of my own pocket. We all have our own way of paving the ground for people behind us.
Yes.
Everything that I said
about Did he be a publicist? He needs to be a publicist. That is perfect.
Everything I said about Eric Reed and how sharp and polished he was in college, the opposite applies for Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
He was very rough around the edges. Obviously, he was going through a lot. I'm telling you, as I covered that cat, he had a genuine heart, but he was obviously kind of hiding from some things. And look at the
maturity
man that he is. And it's not just that response. Tyrann Mathieu's incredible.
He's mature. The most polished, the most polished athlete I've ever been around at LSU is Patrick Peterson.
I agree. I compare him to Magic Johnson all the time.
Of all the players that I know, Patrick is warm. He's on another planet when it comes to human beings. He took Tyrann under his wing, and you saw what he did with him. You know, barring the injuries that he had in those seasons, he was one of the best defensive players in the NFL. And he's proven it after injury and what he can do and his ball skills and the whole deal. He is absolutely right. I think Eric Reed, and I know a lot of listeners want to hear my opinion of what Eric said. Yeah, I mean, look, to me, it's kind of a bonehead response because Eric – I don't think he's thinking of the whole picture, and it's private funds. I'm not, you know, look, I was a good student, but I gave, and I wasn't an NFL player. I'm in the restaurant business, and I have two very successful restaurants in Ruffino's and Baton Rouge in Lafayette, but still small margins. Still, I got a lot of people to pay, and I give a lot of charity. A lot to the Lafayette community, and I give a lot to the Baton Rouge community. That's the majority of the profits that I do and giving away. But the other one I love to give is to LSU and UL. My two favorite, the way my heart is, and I gave to the nutrition center. It was a good fit, you know, Ruffino's and the nutrition center, and I gave a lot of money to them just because I really felt that they needed that for their players, and I needed to do something because LSU. Look what LSU gave me. LSU gave me a look. I wouldn't have two restaurants if it wasn't for LSU. I'd be in Thibodaux or you know, I had to go to Nicholls State or whatever. But they gave me a chance. I started 3 years, and I got lucky, and I was good at one thing, making friends. And I made great friends, and I got in the restaurant business, and I was able to give back. So I gave back. And I'm proud to say that I'm one of the former players that gave back. Now you got the Pep Rutlands of the world and the George Bevins with big, big money. That were able to give big, big money, Tyrann Mathieu, those kind of guys. But overall, the majority of those gifts were from a few from TAF donors, but the majority of it was from former players.
Former players.
And that's the beauty of it. And that's the fraternity I'm trying to create that LSU's never had with former players. And it's beautiful, man. And I think the sleep pods and the beauty of it got to people. They thought it was over the top. I'm like, they don't know what what those players go through. And, you know, I love it because when I played, we had to live in the dorms. And I loved it because you had curfew and you know, we ate together, we showered together, we slept together. I mean, we were all in the same area. Well, now they you know, because of Title IX and all that, they cut all that out. Well, it's kind of hard to keep up with them. They don't know if they're sleeping enough or whatever. But why not have a place they can take a nap between classes before, right there in the locker room, turn the lights off and let them sleep? It's a beautiful thing. You know what? Those same people that the small minority that is complaining are the ones that go to the games and cheer them on. And you want to see a winner? There's nothing better in anybody's life than sleep. Sleep is the key to health, happiness, and everything. And the more studies come out, the more people know it. Right now, sleep is everything. And that's, you know, that's what the pods were for. They studied all that. And that's a beautiful thing.
Incredibly well said. CD, let's wind this thing down. We'll do it, as we always do, with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Outnumbered, as Ruffin and I look out over the bar area here. Yeah, we got Teeny Tuesday, and that lends itself to the ladies. My friend, we are far outnumbered here. We're headed to the hour break, and that's the way that we like it. But, guys, we invite you to come out and join us as well. Great cause tonight with Healing House. But right now, Ruff and I, we're about to return, but currently we're outnumbered. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. Coming right back in, Tommy Moffitt, when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Back live from Ruffino's on the River. This is hour two of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Ben Love with you. And momentarily, I think we'll be rejoined by Ruff and Rodri. What we do know is this. We're going to bring on one of our favorite guests now. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, LSU football strength and conditioning coordinator Tommy Moffitt is with us. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure.
I was going to say my voice is kind of messed up right now, so I apologize.
I think everybody listening that follows LSU sports understands why sometimes that's going to happen to a man in your profession. But what's this time of year like for you? The summer starts to wind down. Fall camp begins here within the next 2 weeks. Tell us what it's like for you.
Well, so we finished up our last day of training today and testing and so on and so forth. And we have a team competition day tomorrow where we divide the team up into smaller teams. We have 10 teams, and we do a series of 5 competitions and stuff. So he's in the barn. We're finished, and, you know, we send the guys home with a workout that they're supposed to, you know, do while they're away, and we're ready to go. The Tigers are ready.
Coach Ruffin Rodriguez is back with us now, and he wants to know if you've got room left in that team competition.
Ruffin, you better be in shape. But no,
I'm not in that kind of shape.
Yeah, we've got everybody set and ready to go. But we'd love to have you. There's probably a couple of teams that could use you for the tie flip and a couple of the other, the farmer's carry. So there's probably a couple teams that would like to have you, Ruffin.
I tell you, Coach, it's amazing. I turned 52 this year, and you know, just staying in shape with yoga lattes and that kind of thing. But I went in the bench press the other day, and I hit 440.
Whoo!
And I was like, man, that's about what I, you know, I did 460 in college. I'm like, I don't understand this stuff. This is crazy. I'm gonna get with Coach Moffitt and go really train. I may do some MMA fighting or something.
That's a hell of a lift.
Yeah, well, that was my big thing was the incline bench back then when Milton Williams had that. I had the record at 425 or 430 on the incline. But I was telling Ben, Coach, that the most impressive part to me of strength coach, what you do, is when I get to walk down the hill and all of the former players that you were coach of can't wait till they see you. I can see it in their faces, and then they jump all over you, and I know you love it. But the camaraderie that you have with former players over any other coach is just remarkable.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we've been blessed with a lot of really good guys, man. And, you know, although we work very hard and I'm tough, and, you know, there's a lot of love, you know, between us. And it's tough love. And they know I care a great deal about them. And I would do anything I could possibly do to try to help them. And I think that's what makes or has made this program so special. Through the years is because of all the things, you know, that the guys learn, not just from me, but from all of our staff. And it's, you know, it's those lessons that last far beyond football. In fact, a guy called me, I don't know if y'all remember, Jonathan Rucker. Jonathan played at Ponchatoula High School. He walked on, was great for us on the kickoff team. Jonathan has done really well with a charity that he runs in Ponchatoula now for the needy and young men and women. And he called me today. I haven't gotten a chance to call him back, but he's coming by tomorrow. And that's what's so neat, man. The guys call me up and say, hey, Coach, I'm passing through town. Got my wife and kids. I want to come by. And that makes it all the better, man, because, you know, football is only a small part of our lives. It's a major part of our lives, but it's a small part. And it's great that the relationships last after the guys leave here. And, it's a special part about my job.
We're talking with Tommy Moffitt, Director of Strength and Conditioning at LSU. Coach, if you could, give me a handful of your strongest players. I guess I'll go both linemen and then skill position.
Well, I wish I had a copy of our testing results, but I don't have them with me right now. But Braden Fajoco because we just finished up today. Braden Fajoco hit 500 today in the bench press, which is huge. Because, you know, he had that injury last year at the end of the season where he had that surgery. So Braden hit 500. That was huge. We had, if I'm not mistaken, we had 23 guys bench 405 or better. I just watched Cardale Thomas. I think Cardale did 455 or 460. I just saw that, Cardale. But we had some amazing. Yes, Cardale's lost a lot of weight. He weighed in at 339, I think, today. So that's really good. You know, he smashed his conditioning test. We had two guys clean 374. We had really good testing. Our power clean average is still just a few pounds. It didn't go up over last year, but we had more heavier power cleans than in the past. I think we had 43 guys over 308 pounds. You know, it went great, man. We're really excited about where we are right now with strength. But the offensive and defensive line is strong, is really strong. So I feel good about where we are, and we're in good shape. And I'm looking forward to camp. The key now is that these guys continue to work because they got some time off. We start practice on the 2nd, and today it looks like – what's today? The 23rd. So they got a few days. They got, 10 days off? They need it for rest, but they need to continue to, you know, to do some running. They need to get outside in the sun and continue the acclimatization process because it's going to be hot, you know. But it's been a great summer. I feel good about it.
Coach, when I'm at the restaurant here at Ruffino's, most of the guys here, everybody wants to know about Tyler Shelvin because he's a local kid from Lafayette, coached by Trev Falk most of his high school career. How's Tyler doing?
Tyler's doing good. Tyler's, you know, where he's continuing to slim up. Tyler, number one, Tyler's a phenomenal athlete. But, you know, he put on a bunch of weight, you know. But he's slimmed down a lot. Tyler's lost almost 50 pounds and has kept it off. He's doing great. He's so quick and so powerful. He's doing well. It's going to be a tough competition between he and Apu. And they train together every day. They work out in the same group and they push each other. And I watched them. They were running side by side today. And it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top. That's football, man. That's college football. And one day you're on top of the world. The next day, you know, you're peeling yourself up off the bottom. Those two have worked very hard, and Tyler has done well this summer.
We're coming down the stretch with Tommy Moffitt of LSU football on 103.7 The Game. How much do you switch into maybe preventative mode or recovery mode at this point, right? You've gotten the guys where they need to be to get to camp.
Yeah.
Here we know that injuries are inevitable. How does that change kind of your job description and what you do?
Well, we're always in recovery mode. I mean, so you get bigger, stronger, and faster when you recover from work. We talk about it every day, man, about sleep. Sleep is the greatest training aid there is. 3 meals a day plus, you know, the protein shakes and the creatine monohydrate and the vitamins. All of that stuff is critical, man. We started reducing the training volume at middle of the week last week. So from Wednesday of last week until today, although the intensity has been high, the volume of work that we have done has been lower. And then they have 10 days of recovery where they have to continue to take good care of themselves. And, but you still, like if half of our football team just sat on the couch, you know, for the next 10 days, they're going to turn to jello, man. They'll be like pudding pops when they come back. And so they've got to continue to work. But the volume of what we do, volume is what fatigues you, not intensity. So we, you know, we're going to reduce the volume. And now the NC2A, and the reason we, I told him today, if I had my way, we'd continue training all the way up to when camp started, but I would reduce the volume, you know, considerably and keep that intensity high. But the NC2A tells us when we train, when we can't train. So that's the only reason we're taking off, is because the NC2A has guidelines where we have to give them off. And that's probably a good thing, because some people would overwork them. But now when training camp starts, we won't work out the first week and a half of training camp. But they'll come to the weight room twice a week, mandatory, twice a week during training camp. But the first week and a half of that is going to be like flexibility work, recovery work, all types of stuff in conjunction with what they're doing in the training room. And then the first couple of workouts is an introduction back to strength training. But then in season, we don't do a lot of recovery. You can't. So we'll continue to push the envelope in some lifts, and then others we will not, because the games are important. But, yeah, we continue. In fact, we got stronger, you know, last year. We got more explosive last year throughout the entire season. We tested our guys. We use a force plate where we test our guys twice a week. We test them twice a week in season, so we monitor their central nervous system and the neuromuscular system twice a week. We're jumping on a force plate, and we got stronger and more explosive throughout the season last year. We got hard data to prove it, and we'll do the same this year, man. I mean, we don't push them as hard as we do, you know, in the off season, but, man, we're going to get after them. If you're not moving forward, you're backing up in this business.
And, you know, the fun part is I can remember when we were, you know, the LSU was trying to decide on the new head coach, and you had these guys from Tech, where all these different places, and they asked me my opinion, the Board of Supervisors, and I said, my honest answer was, you got Jack Marucci and you got Tommy Moffitt, who, in my opinion, Ruff and Roderick talking, those are the two best in their field in the country. And you want a coach that will listen to them and gel with them. Not only the head coach, but the offense coordinator, the defense coordinator. It's got to be one team as a coaching staff. Not only the team, but the coaching staff. And I said, there's not a better man to fit that mold than Ed Ogeron. And that was all I had to say, wanted to say. And hopefully it helped out.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he does. That's the very best thing about Coach O, is that he listens. And he doesn't always do what we ask of him, you know, but we always sit down, we talk about it. And he's got the experience from working in the weight room. And Coach O has been phenomenal to work for because he always listens and he asks our opinions, you know. He's always asking me, you know, about how the team's doing, what I think we need to do. He's been phenomenal to work for because of that reason, because a lot of head coaches don't listen.
And you know, Coach, that Gale Hatch takes all the credit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Coach Hatch is awesome, man. I'm glad you brought him up because I wouldn't be where I'm at today without his influence and guidance and mentorship. He's been phenomenal, along with a guy like Milton Williams, you know. So I spent a lot of time down here. JT used to get mad because I'd ask for a day off, and I'd come down here and spend all day, you know, hanging out with Milton and talking shop. And, you know, he's been phenomenal. In fact, you know, the South Louisiana, you know, there's guys like Al Miller, who was the strength coach at Northeast Louisiana, now ULM, who went to Alabama and was there while Gene Stallings and coaching the NFL. Al Miller is from Neville, Louisiana, as a matter of fact, and he was one of my mentors, Johnny Parker. Coach Parker was here 72, 73, 74, and was Bill Parcells' strength coach, for the Giants, and, Coach Hatch and Milton Williams, and I was so blessed as a young coach to be surrounded by such great mentors, and every one of them had their roots set in Louisiana, some people will tell you that South Louisiana is the mecca of strength and conditioning because you had Louis Rickey, another one of my mentors, who was the head strength coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he was, his family owned Tulane Hardware, and he's from New Orleans, Louisiana, and retired and lived in River Ridge when I was a coach at John Curtis, and I could just go on and on and on. So, yeah, I'm glad you gave Coach Hatch that shout-out.
Coach, we're grateful to have had you for this long today. Thank you for giving us the time. Look forward to catching up with you, hopefully before the season starts. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Ruff, and thanks for having us on. Go Tigers.
How about that?
Oh, man.
Tommy Moffitt laying it down, director of strength and conditioning at LSU. Quick recess when we come back. Yeah, school will be back in session. Ruff and I will react to that. Don't forget, Cajuns fans, in about 12 minutes, Steve Robertson. He covers Mississippi State football like a blanket. He'll be with us just after 5:30 to preview the season opener. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Hate to even talk over this guitar riff. It's got to do it, though. It's my job. And we got a short segment, so let's get back and get right back to it. Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you live from the Wine Cellar at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. I have been offered several drinks since I began doing the program. And, yeah, this place is getting pretty slammed here, coming up on 5:30. I have been offered hand warmers, and not just as a gesture, but people, I'm assuming, duck hunters, deer hunters out there, have literally come up and offered me hand warmers. It's a little chilly, but it's all good. I got the jacket. I'm ready to roll. We just had Tommy Moffitt aboard, and if you don't think that there can be fact-checking on social media, think again. He gave us the max. I think he told us that he mentioned Braden Fajoco among the strongest players on the team, and then he nosed up to 500 on the bench press 53 minutes ago. And Ruffin's about to come back in. 53 minutes ago, Ruff. It's funny, we just had Tommy Moffitt on. Cardale Thomas tweeted out, just maxed 485 on the bench. I'm coming for you, 500. Wow. He's a freshman who's losing weight.
Yeah, that's wow. You know what's really scary about that? It's from what I hear from the Lafayette, the people that seen Lafayette Christian with Trefoil. He's got a player that supposedly dominated Cardale Thomas in a high school game this year.
Yeah. I'm betting
a freshman.
I'm betting they're talking about Fitzgerald West Jr.
Yes.
And that game, by the way, surprised a lot of people and opened up some eyes. LCA is going to have a number of kids that have the opportunity to go down I-10. Sage Ryan,
but
receiver, coming up.
To do that.
Fitzgerald West is a big boy.
As a freshman, right?
I think West was a freshman this year. We'll be a sophomore next. Yeah.
So you got a freshman going against a senior?
He started as an eighth grader on their state championship team 2 years back.
Wow.
And you could say all you want about, hey, that's 1A football. Southern Lab's a pretty darn good team, no matter what classification. Now LCA is, too.
Well, they got Trail Falk, enough said.
Yeah, a bit of a kink in that armor this year, as you may or may not have heard. Trev actually is not allowed to coach this season.
Okay.
Since you and I have had him on the program last, he came and sat with us in the other corner of the bar area here.
Yeah.
There's been an LHS 2A ruling, and I'm not going to go into all of it on the show. But he's not a full-time teacher. That whole thing.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay. Michael Don went through that. Yeah, you got to – That's let them coach, man. Come on, LHSA. I understand rules, and you don't want to open floodgates, but man, you gotta. He's not only a coach; he's a teacher,
mentor
on the field. You can't put a price on that. you know, I'm going to have to call. Who's the head of the LHSA?
We'll get you through to Eddie Bonine.
I'll call him myself. Okay. I'm going to make some moves.
Man on a mission.
I am a man on a mission. I'm in love with Trev Falk. I think he is he's just a class act. The thing is they don't make any money high school football and coaching. My Uncle Don Rodriguez, who's probably the most popular coach in the state as an assistant, never been a head coach. You know, he's loved by everybody. He has been a mentor for kids. He has developed young men. That was his skill. That's what Trev Falk does. You know, I understand having to get that degree, the teaching thing, but they're teaching these young men to live. A lot of them are fatherless. A lot of them, you know, have bad peers and bad influences and stuff. You saw what Tyrann Mathieu went through out of New Orleans. These coaches bring them back to life, man. They bring them into a place where they're comfortable and safe and vulnerable. So, anyway, yeah, I can go off on this for about 2 hours. But.
Well, hey, that's okay. I'll be back Friday. But right now, got to hit a quick break. When we return, Steve Robertson previewing Mississippi State football, Cajuns Open with the Bulldogs in NOLA. We'll get the scoop next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And, yeah, the party has begun. The Healing House will be celebrating Teeny Tuesday tonight where we are at Rufino's on the River. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back out to Rufino's on the River. We got a party that's touched down here, and it continues to grow as we head towards 6 o'clock. Glad to have you back for more Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, and I'll be joined momentarily by Ruffin Rodriguez. I know this, aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, great friend of the program, and a dynamite follow when you need to get up to speed on Mississippi State athletics. Steve Robertson's with us. He's the co-publisher of jeanspage.com. How are you, Steve?
Well, I'm enjoying some cooler weather. Some unseasonably cooler weather makes me long for college football, which will be more shadow than later.
What has this offseason been like? It's, I guess, maybe the first full offseason, if we can put it that way. For Coach Moorhead, he has a program that obviously with a lot of success before he arrived with Dan Mullen. But what's it been like as he's looking to go into year two? I know a new starting quarterback, but what else has been on the docket?
Well, you know, it's been a very busy, you know, transfer portal season for Joe Moorhead. You add the graduate transfer punter from South Alabama, Cortis Waitman. You bring in wide receiver Isaiah Zuber from Kansas State. He was the leading receiver the last two seasons there. And Little Apple, and then of course Tommy Stevens. I mean, that's a big name there. That guy very familiar with the system, and leading into fall camp, it's a pretty much an open competition. But Keaton Thompson of New Orleans, you know, Randy Walker was the number one guy coming out of spring, and now with Stevens in the mix, your things are a little bit dicey, shall we say? And so it'll be interesting to see because Thompson has the rapport with the players, but Stevens has the better understanding of the offensive system and the skill set that really kind of fits what Joe wants to do. And so I think it's been kind of interesting to see Joe navigate through that and how he's communicated that with the guys that are returning players on the roster.
What an interesting dynamic that is, Steve. Is there a thought process perhaps that if Thompson, albeit maybe the more talented option, is there a thought that maybe trying to get him into this offense is shoehorning him into something he's not most ideally suited for?
Well, I think that's kind of what you had last year with Mississippi State. I mean, you see, you go out there and you put up, 3 points against Florida, and you struggle against LSU, and then you could put up 52 against Arkansas and 35 against Ole Miss, and so probably could have put up 70 in that game. But it's one of those deals where you have Fitzgerald, who was a run-first quarterback, who really wanted to be a pro-first quarterback and show NFL scouts he could do it. And it was kind of like, he was kind of forcing it in there, ramming a, tech into a round hole. It wasn't a good fit for anybody. And that's not to throw shade at any side, but you're asking Jim Moorhead to come in here with a new system, with a roster that was recruited to run to Dan Mullen's team, and there were some growing pains last year. And so I think they'll want to avoid that this year. Keaton probably more of a polished passer out of high school than Nick Fitzgerald was.
But Tommy Stevens is a guy that was recruited to run this offense. And so you've got to kind of like his standing kind of moving into fall camp. But, of course, that's why they had the practice session. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next few weeks.
Steve Robertson, jeanspage.com, our guest, as we continue to roll live from Ruffino's on the River. And obviously a huge loss when you, I guess you miss out on a quarterback, the caliber of Fitzgerald. But when Sweat and Simmons move on from the defensive line, how does Mississippi State rebound from that, and who's up next along that line?
Well, they feel really good about where they are at defensive end right now. You've got some guys like Chauncey Rivers is a guy that's very productive last year, probably one of the more productive players per snap on the roster from the defensive side. But he'll be back and move more into a starting role. And then Kobe Jones and Marquis Spencer, some guys are really high on. But the big question mark is going to be defensive tackle. They pretty much graduated all but one player on the 3B from a year ago, and Lee Autry will return. That's the younger brother of Danico Autry, current Indianapolis Colts there. He's had some good times here in Starkville. But a lot of talent, you know, guys like Fabian Lovitz, and names that LSU fans might be familiar with, they recruited, but not a lot of experience. And that's really, I think, the rub right now as they get into fall camp is they feel great about the back seven with the linebackers and secondary, obviously, but not going to be as loaded up front as they have been, and nor should they be with guys like Simmons and Sweat moving on. But, again, good at the end, defensive tackle, a lot of talent, but just not a lot of snaps played. And that's a real matchup problem when you play the Alabamas and the LSUs in the world. They're going to line up and run football right at you.
Steve, last year, the game between Billy Napier's Cajuns and Mississippi State in Starkville was an absolute mismatch. The two will open the season against one another in the Superdome, Labor Day weekend. Does it feel like maybe that gap has narrowed? How do you look at the matchup 2.0?
Well, I think a lot of it's a difference between the weight programs, and there's the principal difference in talent. You know, I'm a big Billy Napier's a fan, and I think he's going to get it done there at UL Lafayette. I just don't know if he'll have the talent maybe to win a lot of these Power 5 games. I think he'll be very good in their league. But I also think they run the element of surprise. You've got all summer to get ready for that season opener. And so I expect it to be a little more of a competitive game than it was last year, but I think ultimately Mississippi State wins the game, you know, by a fairly comfortable margin. But the main thing I'm excited about with that game, Ben, is the fact that we're going to open that game at 11 a.m. in New Orleans in the Superdome and not at Davis-Wade Stadium or somewhere else in the heat. So it's a strike one up for the athletic directors doing to the break for the fans.
Well said. Steve, as we come down the stretch, I guess your overview of the schedule, what it looks like for the Bulldogs in 2019, educate our listeners a little bit on look, it's not always what happens on your sideline, but if you have a tough schedule, it could be a tough year. What's it going to be like for Mississippi State?
Well, they'll be a solid bowl team again. And by a solid bowl team, I submit that probably the over-under is 8-4. You know, you've got a good team there that a lot of the turning pieces that you feel like you should be able to go out there and win, you know, more than your share of ball games. But, you know, if Thomas Stevens comes in and lights the woods on fire, you know, maybe you win some of those toss-up games. And I think going on the road and playing it off on and at Texas A&M, those two road games will determine the quality of Mississippi State's bowl destination. A good meaty 8-4 probably doesn't get embarrassed in many ball games, probably doesn't blow a lot of people out, but you should be able to compete at a high level with just about anybody in the Southeastern Conference.
As I mentioned, he's a great follow when you need Mississippi State sports info. And he's on Twitter at ScoutSteveR. Steve, thanks for doing this in July. Hopefully we'll catch up before LSU and Mississippi State get down here in a couple months.
Sounds great. Take care.
Steve Robertson, jeanspage.com. Ruff and Roderick back with us. Right, before we exit stage left and head into another break, what do you make out of this program? Dan Mullen leaves it in such good hands. They just lost a great nucleus of players to the NFL. Can they be good after Dan's players are gone?
Yeah, I mean, in a program like Mississippi State, the big thing is obviously what, you know, Vanderbilt and Kentucky and all those teams have gone through over the years is just how do you stockpile depth. And, you know, last year Mississippi State was as good a defensive line as anybody in the country, and LSU still beat them. You know, it's a – and we weren't very good at that time. And I just – you know, there's always here or there. It's in Starkville, Mississippi, so the talent pool, you got to share the state with two other schools, and it's tough. And where do you get the players from? So you got to go national, and, you know, how do you get a player to go to Starkville, Mississippi?
Legally.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's tough, but they've done a great job. Look, they lucked out, but they were lucky that Gary Croton was offensive coordinator at LSU, and he didn't like Zach Prescott.
Dak Prescott absolutely should not have ended up there.
Yeah.
I'll make two comments based on what I've just heard and what I've seen. One, I didn't realize Keaton Thompson, the kid out of New Orleans, was in danger of not being the starting quarterback at Mississippi State.
Because he came from Penn State.
I'm going to have to monitor that a little more closely in August. That should be a really big storyline. The second thing that I didn't quite know, shame on me, haven't been reading the Lindy's magazine enough, but Ruffin, did you hear him say that all but one from the three deep along the defensive line is gone from last year?
Yeah. That's scary for the first.
8-4 may be a struggle.
That's why I like, look, and what do you say? He likes comfortably. You know, the line from what I'm gathering right now, the line, what I'm hearing is 23-ish, 21.
What's that? Okay, so this is for UL versus Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I would have guessed 17. All right.
So they're looking,
of course, last year
they're looking
at 45 or something.
Yeah, they're looking at three touchdowns. And
wow.
So that's a little bit of ammunition to give to Billy and them, you know.
Hopefully a little money to be made, too.
Look,
say it that way.
Early in the season, 11 o'clock in the morning in the Superdome, I'm looking less than a touchdown, maybe. And I wouldn't be so shy if I was a gambler to bet the money line and an upset. But that's, you know, I'm a homer.
Sure.
You know, Billy's, you know, I'm gonna pull for them, obviously, and the whole deal. But you never know. It's a crapshoot. But hey, look, coaching goes a long way when you're scheming and you're getting ready for a game. And Billy and his staff are pretty good staff. So it's gonna be fun.
We're gonna hit our final break of the hour. When we return, it's time to throw a little shade. We do it every day in the 5 o'clock hour. Today, Zion Williamson will step into the center circle. I'm not gonna throw it at him. I'm just questioning. What the hell's going on out there, Vince Lombardi style? We'll be right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live at Ruffino's on the River, and always on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
10 minutes to 6 o'clock. Right back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Ruffino's on the River on 1037 The Game. All right, how about your daily rite of passage? That means your daily reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents, of course. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. And how beautiful is that in 2019? Collectively, the pros at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Kirk Herbstreit says,
what's Herbstreit say, Ruff?
Best win total. Over 6.5, Kentucky.
Kentucky's the best money pick there. Let me ask you this. We'll go interactive as we're throwing shade, a little fun we have every day. If you were wearing a pair of shoes and they tore on you in the middle of the job that you were doing, and you maybe even hurt yourself a little bit, what would happen next? Would you buy those shoes again?
If it was, which I think you're talking about, I'm thinking it's a multi-gajillion dollar deal, yes.
Zion Williamson. Literally split a pair of Nikes open, like the first people to split an atom, and now he is a Jordan brand partner. His deal, according to Adam Zagoria, 7 years, $75 million. So Nike broke on Zion, and now they're breaking the bank for Zion. If you want comparison, by the way, I know that this is time and money playing with one another, but when LeBron came out in 2003, his first Nike deal was reportedly worth $90 million. This is 7 years, 75 for Zion Williamson, the newest New Orleans Pelican.
Whew. I mean, I think he's going to make much more in endorsements than he will in his salary for a while.
On that rookie deal.
And good for him. I mean, what a great kid. And the way he's embraced New Orleans and what he's going to bring to the city. And, you know, I'm excited. My son's excited. I wasn't an NBA fan since Bird and Magic played against each other, you know, in Jordan and those years, because it just changed so much because of the college kids, you know, the high school kids coming out and all that. I just never got into it, and now, you know, I'm back into it with Pelicans.
See, that's cool, because you always hear about how fathers and grandfathers get their sons and grandsons into sports. I love when it works the other way too.
It definitely worked the other way. My son he knows every stat for every NBA player, and you know, he just, and NFL, you know, Cameron Fordham, who's a buddy of mine, he's a big social media guy in L.A. now. He played at LSU in North Carolina State. His best friend is Todd Gurley, and I didn't even know this, and my son's favorite player is Todd Gurley. So, yeah, put the two and two together, and he's going to have Todd Gurley do something special for him and all that. And then he wanted to go to the Hall of Fame, and Kevin Mawai is going to be inducted, my former teammate, and Johnny Robinson and Ed Reed from New Orleans, who's my son's one of his favorite players on the Xbox or whatever. When you go back and pick up old players, he thinks Ed Reed's. I'm going to take my son, father's son's trip to Canton, Ohio next weekend and go to the Hall of Fame. So
a lot of people in Acadiana right now, grown-ass men like myself, want to be your son when we grow up. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's a really cool trip.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
All right, CD, let's wind this bad boy down. We've thrown enough shade.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, Ruffin, we got about 3 minutes left in the hour. About 6 minutes until 6 o'clock before our listeners will be with you another 3 minutes in the hour. Let's have a little fun here. Alabama, Georgia picked to win their respective divisions. Both are... I literally think if you went to Vegas right now or even Biloxi, the over-under on win totals is 11. Which is less likely to get there?
Oh, Georgia, because Alabama doesn't play anybody except for LSU.
Good point. Scheduling. Georgia plays Notre Dame this year.
It's borderline ridiculous Alabama schedule versus everybody else. I think they're like 60th in the country, and the rest of the SEC is in the top 10, 20. So, you know, and people say, oh, nobody wants to play us. That's what, you know, that's it. That's been Bama's schedule for a while. And, you know, not that I'm a Bama hater, because Nick's, an old friend of mine from when he was coaching at LSU, but to me it's borderline crazy. Georgia, offensive line is unreal. Georgia's a total package. Fromm's back, Swift, you know, the whole deal. But, you know, one injury here, one injury there. Alabama doesn't play anybody. They're going to play a half and rest the guys. So, and they have the best three receivers in the country. So Alabama has got a pretty straight shot there. Even if they lose to LSU at home, they still got an outside shot. So
helps to start at number one or number two. You can make up a little ground even with the loss to LSU.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many times has Alabama gotten to the final game not even going to the SEC championship?
Twice this decade.
Yeah, so there you go. It's Alabama.
It's a good answer, and I'm looking forward to more of these discussions as we get into August. Tommy Moffitt got me a little fired up. A week from Friday, August the 2nd, the guys report and start getting closer to knocking each other around. It's that time of year.
It's that time of year, man. I'm excited about it. Hot temperatures. Right now we got this cool front. I wish they were practicing right now in this cool weather we're going to have this weekend. But you know what? It's that time of year. You heard Tommy about sleep. We're talking about sleep.
You called that.
And Tommy said, look, nothing better. That's why you get the pods. That's why you get, let them get naps. Let them rest their bodies, man. It's so much. Because people don't realize how much how much work goes into going to class. And, you know, now they live off campus and they have to go to their apartment. And there's just so much, and there's no curfew, so you never know what temptations they're going to have. It's just, it's all over the place. And to have them in the place where you can keep them there for a while and give them a place to rest and all that is so crucial.
It's been a fun 2 hours. We got 30 minutes to go, a little bit more than that, actually. 6:35, Astro launch tonight, and 7:10, first pitch from Minute Maid Park. We're going to see if we can't get somebody from Healing Place.
I got him.
Healing
got
House,
got her, yes.
To come on and talk with us a little bit. So we'll do that at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. And then at 6:15, I'm going to run back some clips that we had yesterday with Billy Napier. I want you to hear it. He was dynamite, talking about this season, recruiting, the way he's doing it, and the staff that he's got. So don't go anywhere. We got more goods coming at you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're hanging out in the wine cellar at Ruffino's on the river. Yeah, life's pretty good when you're at Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
And welcome back, live from inside the wine cellar at Ruffino's on the river. This is a first, but we're having fun. I'm Ben Lovin. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. All right, we got rid of Ruffin Rodrigue, and I don't know if you'll have the energy. I mean, this guy's incredible, but joining us now is Kim Thaxton with the Healing House. She is the development director. What an event this is, has been in over 15 years, how much it's grown.
Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. We are so thrilled to see how many people turn out for martinis every year, and each Tuesday night we showcase at different restaurants a martini, and tonight is Ruffino's, and it is just an amazing turnout.
So what was, the original seed that came into this idea and then some of the things you've done to improve it over a decade and a half now, Kim? Well, you and your team, I should say.
Sure. Originally, we started martinis because we really needed to keep the doors open at Healing House. We were very close to closing the doors 15 years ago. We started the event with about 50 people and one martini. So since then, we've enlisted a local artist every year who paints a glass for us. Everyone who goes to the gala gets a hand-painted martini glass. This year, our artist is Hannah Mason. We've included the restaurants, so we have 8 restaurants that participate in Lafayette's Absolute Best Martini Contest every year, and they do an amazing job not only raising money for Healing House but spreading our mission to help grieving children.
Ben Love, joined here by Kim Thaxton, Development Director with the Healing House, and this venue in particular almost just seems perfect for it, and it's almost as if we got a little bit of a break from the weather gods tonight. I know it's cold here in the wine cellar, but it's a nice temperature. It almost feels like spring outside.
It feels amazing. And you have a great view because you can see the bar from in here. And so you have a bird's eye view of everything that's going on.
And everybody's been having fun. We started the show at 4. Guests started to arrive shortly after that. People who are listening, they've still got time to come out and join us. I guess tell them a little bit about what all's going on tonight. I'm doing the show here in the bar area. There's a DJ. They just gave out an award. So it's not just coming and drinking martinis and donating toward a good cause, but a lot of great things are going to happen here tonight.
Absolutely. This is so fun. It's just a great place to come and see your friends and have a great meal. You get a martini for $2 with the purchase of an entree tonight. So those $2 get donated to Healing House as donations. So that's amazing. And lots of stuff going on out here. And then if you can't make it tonight, you can still come anytime up until August 17th and try the martini at Ruffino's. They'll be serving it for the rest of the martini tour.
And so your next stops after tonight would be?
Let's see, we're going to be headed to Bonefish, and then we have Blue Dog and Zia for the remainder of the tour. So this is week 5. And then we have our gala on August 17th at the Doubletree by Hilton. All 8 restaurants will be at the Doubletree that night serving their martinis. We have a band, a live auction, silent auction. Just a lot of fun. We have 650 guests that join us for that night, and tickets are still available. So you can get tickets on our website at healing-house.org.
healing-house.org. And if I have a question, I bet some of our listeners do as well. Did you say they could come to any of these 8 restaurants between now and the 17th and they still get the same great deal in these martinis?
Well, you will only get the $2 martini if you're on their signature night, so Tuesday night. But you can still come and try their signature martini. You can still vote for your favorite restaurant's martini. So you can still try all eight if you haven't had a chance to do so yet.
Outstanding. Kim, this has been a lot of fun. I'm hoping to join the party here. My show ends at about 6:30. The Astros are going to let me join you all shortly, but thank you for coming aboard. Continued success. This is year 15. I hope it continues to grow and be bigger and better, 16 and beyond.
Well, thank you. This event every year raises over the half of our annual operating budget for Healing House, and it allows us to provide our services to the grieving families in Acadiana free of charge. So we thank everybody in our community for pitching in and helping us out with this. And it's a fun way to make a donation to Healing House, but please know you're helping a lot of families in our community.
And a tremendous crowd, everybody looking to contribute toward that cause. Our guest has been Kim Thaxton, Development Director, with the Healing House. Kim, thank you again. I'll let you back to the party that you all are hosting.
Thank you so much.
And we have plenty of time. If you would like to call into the program, let us know. 706-0111. I'm sure you've had some of your favorite martinis around the Hub City. You can call us and let us know. Or, hey, do one better. Come out and join us live at Ruffino's on the River. All right, quick opening segment. Here's what we'll do. We'll be right back in. I do want to touch on some of the big storylines from the day in sports, and then we'll have a Q&A replay with Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. We caught up with UL's football coach yesterday in New Orleans. A lot of people may not have caught up to it in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll run it back in our 6 o'clock hour today. So stay with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Wine Cellar. Yeah, it's a little nippy in here at Ruffino's on the River and only on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
What dog days of summer! Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love will get you through it all with the latest concerning your favorite teams on the field and on the recruiting trail. Now, back to the show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Back in, final time at least for a full ride. We'll have one of the world's shortest segment auditions after 6:30, but right now it's 12 minutes after 6 o'clock, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ruffin, it's always fun, and we did have a great time speaking with Kim Thaxton about the great things they're doing with Healing House. First time, but I got to say it's fun. When you're doing a radio show and somebody asks if you can kind of just scooch forward a little bit so they can go get wine for people. This isn't just for decoration, brother. We're in an operable wine cellar.
Yeah, and with the martini night and all that, you would think it's all martinis, but no, great wine list, a lot of fun. Packed bar, packed restaurant. People are having fun. We got the head coach of the Northwestern football is here tonight doing a little alumni function. So yeah, that's the fun part about Ruffino's on the River is we have the patio, we have a room, we have these rooms that we can do private events in. And if you need a private party, with the food and everything, is kind of throws it all in is remarkable what it does. So it's a lot of fun.
I get to eat crow right now. Let's bring in my producer, the famous Clint D. All right, Clint, earlier today I told you, hey, I know it's happening fairly last minute, but we got something cool going on tonight. I'll be live from Ruffino's on the River. And he said, oh, yeah, the Northwestern State thing. I was like, nah, dude, like, you don't know what you're talking about. Clint, you knew what you were talking about.
Hey, man, like I said, I just saw something on Facebook about it a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, this is going on at Ruffino's on the River. Okay, and I just put two and two together. My brain just thought about that.
So not just Chris and company doing a great job here, boots on the ground, but Megan and the team with the marketing, they had that whole thing pumped out there on social media.
Yeah.
Got to pass the goalie on me, brother. I didn't know.
Hey, it's the home of Steel Magnolias. Are you kidding me? My mom and I used to watch that movie when it was filmed when I was in college, and I had some friends over there. But, yeah, Northwestern's just classic, I guess they're still the Demons.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Natchitoches. Yeah. I got to tell you. Probably
City of Lights during Christmas.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this and lose some friends, and that's okay. Probably my favorite city in Louisiana north of I-10.
Yeah.
I think I could say that and feel all right about it.
Yeah, that's not – I'll go ahead and take that too. outside of Eunice, is that north of I-10?
Ooh, see, okay. You know what? Maybe I should define that a little bit. Alexandria North. It's my favorite city. Now we can be. Now we can rest.
There
easy.
You go. Because yeah, my buddy Randy Young would be upset with me if I didn't say Eunice.
That's a good call right there. And hey, we got a lot of listeners to the program in the Jennings area as well. So yeah, we don't want to hate. We want to always include.
Yeah, let's not bring up. Let's never forget Jennings. Sort of like Les Miles and his. Running back, whoever the coach was, didn't recruit ATN.
Justin Vincent comes on this show every Friday in the fall, and JV at the time, he's now with the Tiger Athletic Foundation. You probably know, but Justin at the time was working with first Sherman Morris, and then what's the other guy's name who came in? But he worked with all the guys that were in. I mean, they cut up the film. It was before, like, they had the roles like Kevin Falk does now for player development. These guys were meant to go in. Austin Thomas, that's who I'm thinking of. So they cut up all the film. They brought the kids on campus for visits. Like, they knew the recruits better than anybody else. I remember bringing Justin on this show during Etienne's freshman season at Clemson. And his exact words were, I stood up on the table and beat my chest for the kid. Or basically on his behalf.
Yeah.
Deaf ears, man.
Yeah, I heard it was a anyway, I don't know. Justin tells a story about, you know, because Les wanted Clyde Hilaire, but I said, what, can't you have both? I didn't get that whole thing. So, yeah, it was a bad decision by the staff's part to be that late, and it was too late for the deal. So, hey look, we're good. Ed will never let that kind of stuff happen again. Coach Ogeron is – He's got a fence around the state. He's completely befriended Billy and all the other schools. They're all working together. If he's helping them get recruits, it's a great fraternity right now.
What a great segue that is, because I got to be honest, you and I started flowing, and I forgot that I'm meant to reintroduce the Billy Napier interview. We had it yesterday. Clint, let's do that before I run out of real estate. Ruffin's had... He's a bad influence. He starts having fun, I have fun, and I forget my damn job. All right, let's get a Q&A replay going. Here's me yesterday with Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. Coach, I appreciate the time here. How was the run at the podium?
You know, we appreciate the people that stuck around. Certainly being in that 4 o'clock slot, you know, going last is a little bit different. Went first last year.
That's right.
But, no, it's been a great day, man. I think we've got a great – challenge in front of us, you know, a new team, new players, new staff, new set of problems, and certainly new set of challenges. And I'm excited, man. I like the football team that we've got coming back, and certainly we've added a few new pieces here or there. But year two, I think everybody's better at their job, and I think we'll play better ball. We certainly have a little bit different schedule than we have had in the past. But if you're a competitor, you want it that way. So we look forward to it.
We're about to flip over into the month of August. How much of you is, man, we need the time to get better, to get ready, and how much of you is saying, can't we just put it on a tee? I mean, here a couple of stones throws to where we are and play ball.
Well, you know, I think there's lots of work to be done. Some of the more pivotal moments in your team are during training camp, you know, because it's really your first time with the entire staff and the coaches to go along with the players. You know, these guys train for 2 months in the summer, but we're limited in terms of what we can do with them. We take a break. We go on vacation. So training camp's an important time to kind of develop your personality, the identity of your team, certainly kind of set some guidelines and some expectations in terms of what you want from an effort standpoint, how to practice, how to prepare, how to recover, how to be a get to know your teammate throughout that time. So we look forward to it. We've got a good plan in place. And, again, I think we've hired some exceptional people, and we'll continue to let them work really hard at what they do and, you know, keep recruiting and evaluating. And I think you'll see a better team.
Billy Napier, our guest on 103.7 The Game, entering year two. Year one, a pretty big success, though. 5-2 in the division. Is there such a thing as a gut check moment that happens within a season? And did you have one last year?
Well, you know, I think there were lots of moments in last year where I think we're turning points. I think the big thing for us is the first comparison game we had was when we played App State on the road in the regular season. The year before, I don't know that it was a very close game. So we went in there and competed, kind of went toe-to-toe with them. I think our players left that game feeling like, hey, we are a little bit different. The work has been paying off. Maybe these guys do know what they're talking about, you know, to some degree. But we had a little bit different look in our eye from that point forward, you know, and then we were able to pull off the Arkansas State deal. And then, you know, we created a little bit of momentum and confidence, and we started to practice and prepare with a little more detail, a little more urgency. And I think we found a way to win some close games down the stretch. And certainly, you know, when you're in those moments, man, you don't think much about it. But it was a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much. And I think we've got a great team. There's great morale in the building. And I look forward to the challenges that come with this year.
I'm interested in your take on the new DNA as far as coaches that's been injected into this league. And I spent a little bit of time before my program with Chip Lindsey, and he said, yeah, he tried to recruit one of his guys pretty heavily when he was a high school coach in the state of Georgia. And he said, certainly, you know, I'm familiar with what happened in Tempe. Billy came in after me. So what he and some of these other men bring into this conference?
Well, we got four new head coaches. Some unique stories, you know, in terms of Chip Lindsey and Eli are both former high school coaches that have made a pretty quick transition up the tree, and I'm happy for both of them. Tremendous amount of respect for both of them. Certainly, Spavital is a well-documented guy. He's worked with some really good offensive coaches. He's moved the ball on a consistent basis and basically hired the entire defensive staff from Texas Tech. So they've got a good group. And then Jamie out at Coastal, you know, he was the interim coach just a couple years ago, so there's some familiarity there. But that's the cool thing about this league, I think, is there's going to be some attrition and movement, and you got to adjust, adapt, evolve. We certainly have spent an extensive amount of time on all the opponents in our summer scouting reports. Sometimes we're watching West Virginia tape and Georgia Tech tape and Boise State tape or whatever the case may be, so we're going to track down their history and really basically flip over every rock and try to get our players in the best position possible.
Now, this won't be the sexiest topic for a lot of our listeners, but I know that you've put a huge emphasis on your staff, and I'm not just talking about the assistant coaches or the coordinators, but everybody else. Just how many eyeballs do you have on all these angles that you just talked about, even going back and looking at tape from coaches at previous stops? I mean, do you feel like you're ahead of the curve with this program and this conference doing that?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think it allows you to be more detailed, more thorough in your approach. You give ownership to a lot of people. You create energy. You create morale. I think it's a better quality of life for each assistant coach when they have someone that's kind of their helper. They're able to delegate. I think we're able to produce and develop young coaches. And I think that there's a gap there between maybe some of our assistants and the players. And I think young people in the building help us kind of bridge that gap. You know, this is pretty well documented doing it this way. We just don't have Butch Jones hanging out. We got, you know, Ryan O'Hara is our quarterback quality control, not the former head coach of the Tennessee Vols. So it used to be that way. You know, when I first went to Alabama, I was one of those guys, and I was just a 30-year-old.
You were Ryan O'Hara.
Yeah, I was a fired offensive coordinator that was 30 years old. And some of those guys that I met while I was there were GAs, QCs. We become great friends. Rob Sell was one of those guys. Mark Hockey. Our strength coach is one of those guys. So, you know, I think it's a great way of doing it. I certainly appreciate having the ability to have more balance because we're able to delegate and spread out the duties and not necessarily do everything that goes with being maybe at this level of football. So we do it at a cost-efficient, low-budget way, and there's so many people that want to get into college football now, I think you can do it that way.
Ruffin, you were lapping that interview up like these martinis people are outside, man.
Well, he is. Look, the thing is Billy has got the obviously the brains behind the offense, but to have a coach be a complete CEO the way Billy thinks, and he's so sharp, and he remembers names so well. You name a recruit, boom, he's got it. And you name this, you name a coach, and he's got he's an organizer, he's a coach, he's a teacher, and he's a CEO, and he knows how to manage people, and his blood pressure stays the same the whole time.
Yeah,
and that's what you want. You don't want a coach that's gonna, you know, you want a coach that get pumped up on the sidelines and work the refs, but man, it's hard to find a guy that can really manage a game and be always on. And I think Billy has that, man.
I don't think I said this to our listeners yesterday. I told you in a break. He immediately caught a plane from New Orleans after Sunbelt Media Day, flew to Houston, and today he spoke to a bunch of high school football coaches in the state of Texas in Houston. Wow. That's a pretty wise move.
Yeah, no, he gets it. He understands it. He's organized, and he plans all these events to get this stuff done. And that, look, that's what all the great coaches do. You know, I compared Coach O to Dabo Swinney, because not only recruiting, but man, it's listening to your players, your coaches, your alumni, your whatever, and taking all that information and making the right decisions. Because they have so many decisions to make.
Got about a minute, maybe 90 seconds left in the program today. We'll come back on the other side, and Clint will get everybody ready for Astros baseball. But this was something different, man. Not just the location in the wine cellar. This place is rolling.
Yeah, Ruffino's on the river is rolling. It's pretty good sights from what I can see from here.
There also seem to be drinks.
And there also seem to be drinks
even
and sights.
Food.
And yeah, a little eye candy here and there. And yeah, if you're on the road, you want a good pit stop, come to Ruffino's. Get a free martini, I think. The Healing House martini, the first one is on the house, and the proceeds we give to the Healing House organization, which is just a great Lafayette charity to give back. So,
what a show. Got to thank Ricky Blanton, Tommy Moffitt, Steve Robertson, and then in person, Kim Thaxton with the Healing House all joined us. The famous Clint D from back inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, and of course, the man of the hour, every hour, Ruffin Rodrigue.
Man, thank you.
This was cool. Quite literally, inside the wine cellar.
58 degrees, man. Can't beat it.
Make them duck out on Friday back here, man. This is something.
This works out good.
All right. I hope you enjoyed it. I know we did. We'll be back tomorrow at 4. Enjoy your Astros baseball. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.